We are a community of women whose purpose is to know God and to experience freedom as whole persons through Jesus Christ, to develop a creative, supportive fellowship, and to expand concepts of mission through participation in the global ministries of the church. Amen. Please remain standing as you may. For our confession of faith, we ask for everyone to please rise and recite the Apostles' Creed accordingly as found on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Ooh, hallelujah. Our scripture lessons today come from 2 Samuel, chapter 18, verses 5 through 9, 15, 31 through 33. The king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders concerning Absalom. So the army went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. The men of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the slaughter there was great on that day, 20,000 men. The battle spread over the face of the country, and the forest claimed more victims that day than the sword. Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of the great oak. His head caught fast on the oak, and he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him went on. And 10 young men, Joab's armor bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. Then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "Good tidings for my lord the king, for the Lord has vindicated you this day, delivering you from the power of all who rose up against you." The king said to the Cushite, "It is well with the young man Absalom?" The Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to do you harm be like that young man." The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you, oh Absalom, my son." Our second scripture comes from John chapter 6, verses 35, 41 through 51. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread of life that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Okay, we will now have the introduction of our speaker by Sister Bernadette Bailey, followed by a message from the Lord. Amen.
Good morning, Ebenezer family. I have the honor and pleasure of introducing our keynote speaker for United Women in Faith Day. She is Reverend Dr. Diane A. Shorts. Dr. Di is a native Washingtonian who accepted her call to the Ministry of Counseling Women in 2004. She was a member of Refuge Church Ministries and was ordained by Pastor Phyllis Smotherson in 2005. She then attended Capital Bible Seminary, earning a master's degree in Christian Counseling in 2008. Since her call, Dr. Di, with the help and guidance of the Lord, has helped several women to free themselves of crack cocaine addiction. She volunteered at the Prince George's Pregnancy Center, where her role was to convince women to carry their pregnancies to term rather than choose abortion. She also provided guidance to services for help in caring for their child. She also worked at the Metropolitan Mental Health Clinic, where she helped women and youth to become stabilized citizens. Dr. Di attended Wesley Theological Seminary, and in May 2021, she earned a Doctor of Ministry degree in Faith, Health, and Community. In 2013, Reverend Di joined the staff at Westphalia United Methodist Church, under the leadership of Reverend Dr. Timothy West. She also joined the United Women in Faith community and formerly served as president of the Washington East District. Dr. Dye's favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Because she knows that only the Lord understands her and knows what is best for her. The next voice you will hear will be that of Reverend Dr. Diane A. Shorts.
Let's keep giving the Lord some praise. Let's just give him some praise. I'm a short person, so I got to move the mic. God bless you all for coming out today.
Yeah, I had to flick a switch.
Short and can't see. Good morning again, everyone. And I'd like to thank Bernadette for a wonderful introduction. Thank you so much, Bernie. First, giving honor to God, who is the center and the joy of my life. And then to the angel of this house, Pastor Vincent, for allowing me to stand behind this sacred desk. And he is trusting you all, or trusting me, so much so that he went on vacation. So I'm honored, okay? And I'd like to thank Stephanie Hazel. Of course, she's a little pushy. She didn't know, so I won't put all the blame on her. She didn't know I was in the hospital when she called and asked me to do this. And so I told her I would. I'm in the hospital. I've been in the hospital almost the entire month of July. So it was me listening to God. Because she didn't know I was in the hospital. And he directed her to ask me. So I said, well, must be my time to testify.
Amen.
So I am here to be with you all today.
Yes.
And so it is an honor to be here in this house with you all. So if you would take a moment and pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing unto your sight. Yes. These and all things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So your scripture for today is Deuteronomy 5:33. And it reads, "You shall walk entirely in the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live, and that it may be well for you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you will possess." Of course, when I read that scripture, I said, oh, so you want to put my name in there, do you? I'm laying here in the hospital, and I'm going to prolong my days. Okay, thank you, Father. So I just want you to know it spoke to me. So your theme is obedience is the key to unlocking God's promises.
Yes.
That's a powerful message all by itself. Mm-hmm. You really don't need too much more to be said beyond that. But I have titled my message, "You Hold the Key, Turn It." I saw a painting in a church in Alabama where Jesus was standing outside of a door. The door didn't have a doorknob. Someone asked, why was there no doorknob? And the answer was, because Jesus will not just enter into your heart. You must open the door and then ask him to come in.
Yes, yes.
But the first thing you must do is you have to unlock the door.
Yes.
Turn the key. God gave us free will so that we can decide which route to take in this life. God gives us many promises, but his promises come with conditions. Again, he will not just walk into your life and hand out his promises. You must use your key. For example, 2 Chronicles 7:14 reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land."
Amen.
The promise starts with if. There's something you must do first. You have got to humble yourself. Don't think you can do anything alone. You have got to pray to God and ask for his help at all times, and seek his face. And then the big one, turn from your wicked ways. Then he will hear.
Yes.
forgive, and heal. I'm a witness to this promise. I just recently got out of the hospital, as I said, with a lot of unknowns over me. First, they thought I had a stroke, but ruled that out. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Then they thought I had a seizure, but ruled that out. Thank you, Jesus. So then, when they ruled those things out, they noticed that my kidneys looked like they were about to fail. So they wanted me to go on dialysis. They gave me 3 dialysis treatments, but my kidney numbers did a reversal, and they started to show that I did not need dialysis. Again, my only words, thank you, Jesus. I was released from the hospital and then sent to rehab because I believe God heard my cry. And I humbled myself to understand that I could not help or heal myself. Only God had that in control. I then trusted God. I didn't worry, nor was I afraid. I believed, and I turned the key. Proverbs 16:20 promises to bless those who trust in the Lord. You must trust that God has control of your life and your life situations. You hold the key. Turn it. A young lady told me once that she was afraid to fly. I asked her if she was a Christian. She said, absolutely. So I said, then why are you afraid? You're only going to one or two places, either to the place where you bought the ticket or to heaven. Those are the only two places you can go. There's no need to be afraid.
There we go.
Okay. I had 2 procedures while I was in the hospital, and they would not put me to sleep for either. Of course, I had a problem with that. But the doctor said, we will give you something to calm you. I explained, I did not need calming. I was at peace. I had a peace that passed all understanding.
Yes, yes.
I just didn't want to see or feel what they were doing. As the Lord would have it, I did not see or feel a thing. And was glad that I was of myself when it was over. Amen. Psalm 91 says, one who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will lodge in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, yes, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who rescues you from the net of the trapper and from the deadly plague. My key and your key is trust. Turn it.
Yes.
If you are afraid and feel you need protection, Psalm 7:10 promises to save the upright in heart. God is your shield and your protector if your heart is right. Mm-hmm. Psalm 25:21 says, let integrity and uprightness protect you, for I wait for you. Your key is integrity and uprightness. Turn it. You can't hide anything from God. He knows all and sees all.
Yes.
Psalm 33:18 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who wait for his faithfulness. Fearing the Lord is not like being afraid of a ghost or the boogeyman. It's about respecting the Lord, following his commands, and knowing that if you don't, there are consequences. God does not punish us. It is the consequences of our actions that causes us pain and discomfort. If we respect God and follow His word and wait on Him to handle our situations, we will be happy. Proverbs 28:14 says, "Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief."
Yes.
So stay out of trouble. Don't think you're getting away with anything.
Yes.
Because God knows what is best for us.
Yes.
We just need to wait and be of good courage.
Yes. Yes.
Your key is to follow God's word and wait on Him.
Yes.
Turn it. If you are concerned about your finances, Psalm 34:9 says, "Fear the Lord, you His saints, for to those who fear Him, there's no lack of anything good." Anything good. Everything is at our fingertips. Psalm 37:18, "The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever." 2 Corinthians 9:6-8 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Every man according to his purpose in his heart. It's the purpose in your heart. Remember, God knows your heart. Mm-hmm. It's not what you do on the outside, your heart. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Just think. All you got to do is just cheerfully give, and God will make everything accessible to you. Proverbs 19:16 says, "One who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but one who is careless of conduct will die." Imagine living a life not worrying about money. Every time I think about it. You will have and you will live, for you have the key. Turn it. There's an incredible list of promises that God has given. And if you follow God's directions, you'll be blessed, saved, watched over, taken care of, given what you ask for, and happy. You'll live longer and lack nothing good. Obedience is the premise behind all of God's promises. God gives you His promise by grace, but you get to enjoy His promise when you follow His instructions.
Yes.
Sometimes you understand God's instructions, but sometimes you don't. And you need to obey whether or not you understand.
True.
Some of God's commands might sound confusing. Some may seem unfair. For example, the Bible says to take the first 10% of your income and give it back to Him. Why? Everything belongs to God. So why should you give some back to Him? He wants to see your faithfulness in Him. He tells you what He wants you to do with the 10%. He wants you to feed the hungry, clothe the naked. He tells you what to do with that 10%, but you're giving that 10% out of your faithfulness. And by giving it back to Him, it allows Him to direct our paths.
Yes, yes.
It says that when people do evil to you, you are to do good back to them. What? That's like turn the other cheek. What does that mean? Okay. We are people who say, you kill my dog, I'm going to kill your cat. But there's a reason God wants you to do good to the people that do evil towards you. It's because they need to see God in you. You may be the only God they see. These things don't always make sense from a human standpoint, but the things that don't make sense to us are the things God asks us to do by faith. He wants us to trust him and obey him anyway. 1 John 3:22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight.
Yes.
Luke 9 through 10 says, shares a promise. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. If you follow God's directions, you'll be blessed, saved, watched over, taken care of, given what you ask for, and happy. You'll live longer and lack nothing good. You hold the key. Turn it.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.